Welcome to the Scalable Marketing Machine podcast. I'm your host, Victoria Hadrar, marketing consultant for female founders and creator of the Scalable Marketing Machine Accelerator. I've helped dozens of women grow and scale their businesses from six to seven figures and beyond, helping founders like you to implement my proven growth system that focuses on brand communication, marketing strategy, building your lean team, and leadership. On this podcast, we talk all about what it takes to get to the next level in marketing and in life, focusing on practical, tactical advice that will help you grow your business and explode your revenue. Are you ready to learn? Let's dive in. Hello, and welcome to the Scalable Marketing Machine podcast. Today, we're talking about storytelling and marketing and why it is so important. So a good story could be the difference between a conversion and a non-conversion, okay? Storytelling is so powerful because when we use story in selling and in marketing our service and product, what we're actually doing is helping our prospects be more connected to what we do and how we can serve them. And I've seen recently in the founders that I'm talking to, struggles with conversion rates. And these founders are doing all the things right. Okay, they have their 24/7 marketing flywheel in place, which is, if you're unfamiliar, the 24/7 marketing flywheel is the way that I design marketing strategies. And if you want some tips on how to do that, you can go to ugliventures.com. That's ugliventurs.com/overwhelm. And it's going to give you a framework you can use to build your own 24/7 marketing flywheel. But founders that I'm talking to have their flywheel built out. So what do you do when you have a marketing strategy that your client journey is tied together? You're doing all the things. You're showing up on social media. You're sending those email sequences, right? But the sales are just not coming in. So oftentimes, what we need to enter into is a real era of iteration and improvement. And I think this is the piece of the puzzle that a lot of us as founders, as business owners, we tend to miss because we're always in this mode of building something new, or sometimes we in our creative brains, we kind of want to throw things out and start fresh because we're perfectionists, right? We just want to, improve. But a lot of times we're kind of throwing the baby out with the bathwater. We just kind of want to start from scratch, start all over. Instead of what we really should be doing is laying the foundation, doing all of those essential marketing activities, and just improving the conversion rates, improving those open rates, improving just how we're connecting with prospects. And when we come down to it, if we want to enhance the performance of an email sequence, like a sales funnel, for example, or if we want to get better traction in our social media or in our podcast or whatever it may be, it often comes down to how well are you telling a story? How well are you captivating the attention of your prospects, but then also communicating how you solve their problems? And so this is work that I've found myself in with the founders I work in through my accelerator, the Scalable Marketing Machine Accelerator, even with my private clients, is just how much a good story can affect performance. So that's what we're going to double down and talk about today. What are the things that we can do to improve the way we communicate in order to move people into action and to connect more deeply with our prospects? Okay. And so in my Scalable Marketing Machine Accelerator, in the first couple weeks of being in that program, we spend a good amount of time talking about brand story. And when I talk about brand story, I'm not talking about your mission statement or your founder story. What I'm teaching is something that I learned from a mentor of mine, Donald Miller, who's the creator of StoryBrand. And Donald Miller has created a really interesting framework for building what he calls the customer hero story. And in the customer hero story, what we're doing is we're crafting a narrative that positions our customers, our prospects, as the heroes of their own lives. And so in doing this, we need to have a deep understanding of what our prospects really want, okay? Now, every product or service, we have kind of two layers of desires that our prospects have when they're purchasing with us or thinking about purchasing with us. There's kind of like what we do or what our product serves for them. And then there is a deeper desire that that prospect has. And what we want to do is connect with that deeper desire. So let me give you an example. Let's say that you are a clothing company, right? Now, practically, what do? You sell clothes, shirts and jeans and dresses and skirts and all of those things. And so that's kind of like the top layer. Someone is going to purchase with you because they need or want a top, a skirt, a pants, a shorts, or whatever. But when we think about brand, right, and touching to the deeper desires, we look at the style that a particular company has and the branding and the imagery that they use and the copy that they use. And when you sort of are creating a world or a universe of your brand that is very specific, that you draw that prospect in because they want that type of life for themselves, or they want to be viewed as something that they, an idea that they have in their mind. You know, someone that shops at Walmart to get their clothes will have quite a different motivation or like self-image than someone that shops at Chanel, right? But each of these brands have built in as part of their story, right, the need that their prospect, the desire is being satisfied with shopping with them. So let's say someone who shops at Walmart is making a statement when they shop at Walmart because they're saying that, you know, they are interested in value, right? Maybe this person on a deeper psychological level thinks that it's very wasteful to spend a lot of money on clothes. Someone that loves a good deal, someone that feels genuinely happy when they can look put together and they feel stylish, but in a way that is very inexpensive, right? And maybe this means that someone who shops at a place like Walmart, maybe they value being able to shop more frequently because they like to have new clothes every single season. And so shopping at Walmart enables them to do that, right? As opposed to someone who's shopping at Gucci or Chanel, perhaps their value is that they would rather have fewer, higher quality things. And perhaps they want to be seen as high fashion. They want the world, they want to project this idea of luxury out into everyone that they meet, right? So someone that has an outfit in Gucci versus someone in Walmart, we can see that each product satisfies a need within the prospect, but that need is quite different depending on the brand. Now, for your company, I want you to think about what are the deeper desires that you are satisfying when your customers purchase with you or your clients. And the same goes true for services, even B2B services. I've had this situation come up quite frequently where, you know, if you're selling to an office administrator, or you're selling to a doctor, or you're selling to, a wholesale, right? We have the surface desire, which is, you know, you need a system or you need to carry a certain line or whatever, because it's going to help you do your job, right? You're going to be able to, you know, you have that system and it's going to help you process payments, right? Or you want to carry this line, you're a wholesale buyer, you want to carry this line because you need a bathing suit line in your boutique, right? Satisfying that higher level, that like higher level need. But as we go deeper, right? If you are that B2B buyer and you're looking for a system to implement in the company, for example, your desire is to be, you know, you want, maybe you're a problem solver, right? You're tasked with finding a specific software to implement in your business. And so you want that company that you work with to be reliable. You want there to be customer support. You want it to be easy for other people to use. Like, because if you choose the right product or the right B2B company to work with, and it's a disaster, it is on you. Everyone's going to look to you and be like, oh, like Linda chose that. It's such a pain in the ass program to use. No one likes to use it, right? So oftentimes we can tap into these dual desires. And so I'm going to give you a little bit of a structure for how we can create this story. So first we need to understand, as it relates to your product or service, what would position your customer as the hero? So if you have like a children's clothing company, right? Who's the buyer? The mother, right? So what desire is being filled by the mom choosing your brand or your products, right? If you're a B2B, right, and you're selling software, why would someone want to choose your company over another? What inside them are they satisfying? Do they, at the deep down core, do they want to be seen as the cool mom that dresses their kids in really cool clothes, right? That's the image she has of herself, right? And that's why she's buying with this particular brand. Or for in the case of the office administrator, does Linda want to be seen as like that problem solver who always has everything so organized and really is so helpful for everyone? So you can see how these are deeper desires. And what we want to do is craft this story. So let's take one of these so it gets a little bit less confusing. Let's take this idea of the mom, right? The mom who's wants to have the coolest clothes for her kids. There's so many really cute, really cool kids clothing lines, right? So let's say mom wants to buy just the cutest, coolest clothes for back to school, right? Now, yeah, we're going to showcase the clothes that are really cool, right? But beyond that, let's think about how are we going to create content, so social media posts, the imagery that we use on our website, the copy that's in the website, the copy that's used to describe the clothing pieces. And think about this mom. Let's say that this mom is, you know, she's a young mom. She is really cool. Maybe this woman is, you know, works in some kind of creative field. Maybe she's a graphic designer or an artist or an interior decorator. She really cares a lot about aesthetics, right? So we begin to build this profile, right? We always hear about the ideal client profile, right? But we need to be thinking about this when we create our story, right? Our ideal client, this creative woman, she loves to express herself through her own clothes, but she also wants to express herself through the way that she dresses her kids, right? So you can begin to see how if we build our brand story around this cool mom, let's call her like, you know, Beyonce, and we craft this story that says, hey, Beyonce, we know that you're the cool mom. We know that you want your family to look ready for the paparazzi at all times, right? To look cool and pulled together and high end and high fashion, right? So we are going to, how do we solve your problem? By providing designs that are really cool. So in this hero story, what we want to do is we have this hero and we want to say, what is that problem? The problem that she has is not being able to find really cool, unique children's clothing, right? Everything is kind of like looks the same as the next. It's not really special. It's not fit for someone that is as cool as our target, right? So we present with the solution, right? Really cool, beautifully designed clothing for kids. And in doing so, we're solving her problem, right? Which is cannot find really cool kids' clothing, right? And so in doing that, we kind of avoid the failure for Beyonce finding clothes where maybe in other situations before she found our brand, she would just, you know, feel like I have to go to Target and just get what everyone else gets and sort of don't have any more time or brain space to dedicate to this project, right? But in her heart and her desire that she wants her kids to look really cool. So this is a story that we're building, right? About why someone would purchase with us over someone else. We're getting into the psychology of our prospect and we are identifying what their pain points are, right? Who are they? What are their pain points? And how does our product, our service, satisfy those pain points? Because our brand becomes then a guide for our prospect, right? We're the ones that come in with the solution, and we're going to tell them how their problem can be solved, right? Us as the brand say, hey, we know you have this problem. We're going to show you the perfect back to school outfit for your 8-year-old. And we're going to, you know, we're going to have that on our homepage, best back to school outfits for girls. And we're going to show her how we solve her problem. So as a brand owner, as a founder, it's really important to have this story in your head. What is the deep desire of your prospect? It's not just that we need a back to school outfit, right? Because we can buy a back to school outfit anywhere. Why would our mom want to buy with your brand, right? It's because your designs are unique, right? That your designs are more like artistic or more influenced by current fashion or whatever, right? Of course, this is just an example. But when we set up this story of the brand, and this is what I'm running into with a lot of the founders that I coach inside the accelerator, is that we have this brand story, but how do we really bring it to life? So this is what I wanted to talk about today. How do we really bring it into life? Well, we got to get that story down on paper, be really clear on our prospects and their desires, their problems, how we solve them. But then we need to infuse that practically into the content that we create, and more specifically, into our promotional campaigns. And this is really where the rubber meets the road, and a big mistake I see a lot of founders making with promotions, right? Now, our regular content, I think this is probably another episode, how to create our social media content calendar to kind of hit on these deep desires of the prospect. And this we can do usually, and yes, we have different types of things that we post about. So you have kind of your social content calendar. That's not really what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about how do we invite people into a story while we're running a promotion. Okay, so if you are new sort of hanging out with me talking about marketing, I love to go by the rule of having at least one really well-designed, structured promotional campaign per quarter, okay? And depending on what your business or service is, you can connect to things that are going on in our culture. You could connect to dates that are specific to the vertical that you work inside, or you can just plan for product features to be released at certain points during the quarter. But what you want to do is have a reason to move people into action each and every quarter. And for people that have been sitting on your email list for a while and they haven't actually made a purchase with you, we need to do something. We need to create and design something that's going to push them over the edge and actually convert. And the way that we structure a really good campaign is we need to have a couple things going at the same time, right? We need to have social media posts. And that means, you know, Instagram, for example, something on the feed, something on stories, reels. We need kind of omni-channel presence, right? We need posts through all of the social channels that we're on. We need emails, email sequences rolling. And that email sequence and the social media content needs to tell a story. And it has to be more than, hey, we're having a promotion, right? We want to build up people's excitement. So let's use the example of the kids' clothing company because we're kind of on it already. So we know that parents tend to buy a lot for back to school, right? So we could create a campaign that is about back to school. And we don't have to just say, buy our stuff for back to school, buy our stuff for back to school. We can create an email sequence that really starts to build excitement about the upcoming school year. We can share some kind of interesting tips or ideas about starting school and how to get your kids ready for back to school. So you start kind of like planting some seeds in the content that you're sending out, talking about back to school coming up, talking about, you know, kids may be bummed to go back to school, but they're always excited to have, you know, for back to school shopping. And so in the copy that you're communicating, the post that you're doing, we start to seed stories for weeks at a, like weeks before maybe the actual close of the sale, right? We want to be having, you know, 3, 4, 5 weeks of content that's really all about the same subject, really building excitement. You know, you can be sharing back to school outfits. You can be, You can be, you know, putting outfits together for different types of kids, right? The sporty kid, the theater kid, or whatever, right? All of this creative stuff you can be sharing, and it can be adding value and getting your prospect excited. And then, oh yes, by the way, we have, you know, 20% off and free shipping. And then it's only available until the end of September. So we have our content flowing for a couple weeks. That's really adding value, getting people excited. We're sharing what the promotional situation is. And then as it gets closer to the close cart date of that promotion, we're going to be sending kind of communication that builds urgency and sort of reminds them that there's X amount of time left for the promotion and the promotion is closing. This is a piece that a lot of founders miss. And I want you to understand that if you're like sharing a promotion, oftentimes the moment where people take the most action is at the very end of a promotion. But a lot of founders that I talk to, they'll send these promotional emails out and they will not make a very big deal about when that promotion is ending. And so you're missing a huge amount of opportunity because people really need to be pushed, okay, to actually move into action. A lot of folks kind of, they're interested in something and maybe they want to do it and maybe they need to do it, but unless they're reminded and pushed, they're not going to actually follow through. And we can see that every single time, the end of promotions are when the most people take action. And so it's not enough, and I've seen this so many times, to just have, here's the promotion and little tiny text that says available until such and such a date. And then you don't mention anything else about it. And when we're doing close cart emails, we need to, our promotional times, our campaigns are a way that we want to make a lot of noise. We want to make a lot of noise. We want to send a lot of communication. And I will tell you that in my experience, when you're running a promotion, it's not the moment where, oh, I don't want to bother people. So many people are going to unsubscribe. In my experience, unsubscribe rates do not increase dramatically during promotions. It will get people to unsubscribe if they're just truly never going to buy your thing. And by the way, you don't want them on your list anyway. But most people that like the brand and will buy in the future will keep themselves on the email list during a promotion because people recognize that it's a promotion. If there's an increase in email frequency, but it's because a cart is closing or a promotion is ending or something special is happening once every couple months, people realize that that intensity, there's a crescendo until the cart closes and the promotion ends. And it's not going to annoy them. They'll just simply delete it if they're not going to take action. But again, if you don't send those emails, you're missing a lot of sales opportunities. Because I can tell you, like, a quarter of the sales, like if you're running, just recently I ran a promotion that was a full month long. And our biggest day of conversions, our single biggest day, was the day before the cart closed. We had twice as many sales in that one day as our highest day, our previously highest day. Twice as many sales, double the amount of sales. And it just goes to show you, like, again, like, people need a deadline, they need goalposts, they need guardrails. Because a lot of times, I don't know about you, but the way I shop, like, I'm on the email list for the brands that I love. And, you know, if I see like a promotion, oftentimes I think like, oh, there'll be another one later or whatever. Or, I don't really need that now. Or I'm interested in that and then I get distracted. And that's why we need those reminders. And I want to like pull back the curtain. Other companies that are doing really well, founders that I've worked with that do really well in campaigns, they're sending out lots of emails, okay? During a promotional period in 1 week, let's say their frequency could be every day in some cases. And when a cart is closing, that could be two or three times in a day if you're having a big promotion. Let's say it's Black Friday, Cyber Monday. It's not uncommon to have three emails in 1 day before a promotion is done, in addition to text messages. So the big guys, the big brands, they are absolutely doing it this way because they know that it moves people into action. But us as smaller brands, we don't want to bother anyone, whatever. Yes, we need to be conscious of our unsubscribe rates and we need to be respectful. But during a promotional period, especially at those ending moments of the promotion, you want to increase the intensity. And that's how we're going to increase the conversions. So to recap, in order to create a really, really good promotion, right, campaign for your business, you want to have three like strategic steps. First is you need to tie together your brand story, okay? Now, I have a free resource for you that you can grab that is a downloadable PDF that walks you through the steps of how to create a brand that gets people talking. You can grab that at uglyventures.com/brand. So uglyventures.com/brand. And it walks you through how to kind of build that brand story and kind of how to strengthen your brand. But from a high level, we really want to say, what does our prospect really desire? What is it that we can provide to them that's going to make them the hero of their own story as it relates to our product or service? And in the kids' clothing example, this mom, in her heart, she wants to be cool. She wants her kids to look cool. She wants to look put together and organized and fashionable. That's her deep desire. And that is the desire that is satisfied from this kids' brand we've been talking about, right? And we want to understand, again, that problem and how we solve that problem. In the kids' clothing example, it's because we design really cool kids' clothes that are in line with, the Paris Fashion Week and New York Fashion Week or whatever, and it is unique and you can't find it anything like it at Target or Walmart, right? So get clarity on that story. Then we want to say, okay, for our campaigns, how are we creating a story through the campaign that we are launching? And so that's why it becomes really helpful to anchor your campaigns with moments in time that are significant to your prospect. So we talk about beginning of school because beginning of school is a very important time for moms, right? And it's a moment where they're shopping a lot. But maybe your brand, that doesn't make sense. Maybe for you, it's Valentine's Day or Mother's Day or Labor Day or, National Donut Day. You can create your own holiday, right? As a sidebar, Amazon did something really incredible where they created Prime Day. They just completely made it up. And now they have it twice a year. And it is incredible for them because it's a moment where people are watching, they're paying attention, and they're ready to shop because they know they're going to get the best deals. You also can make up holidays. Or listen, there's a million random social media holidays. You can find one that is relevant for your business, right? National Pet Day, I think, happened this week, for example. So finding that anchor for a promotional campaign and then building a story around it. If it's back to school, I gave you all these great examples of the ways that you can tell a story and add value and give ideas and inspiration or everything all around back to school and outfits for back to school and first day of school outfits and, how to dress your child for their personality and all those things. This is going to get our audience really engaged and excited, right? And then, of course, we have to apply that end date of the promotion, that campaign, and we need to apply the pressure. We need to apply the urgency and really increase the frequency and the intensity of our communications before we close that cart. And when we have a combination of all of this, we'll begin to see higher conversions on those campaigns, okay? And as I said, we want to plug that into our calendar at least 4 times a year, right? So we're not just reliant on Black Friday and Cyber Monday and holiday season, right? In the past, a lot of product-based businesses had their whole year be made up just in that month or so, right? But when you kind of get more creative and you anchor promotional campaigns to different moments in the calendar throughout the year, you can begin to see a little bit more consistency in your revenue, right? Because oftentimes, ads aside, because ad production, I'm talking about organic stuff. Because ads, again, will have their own return on investment and will help you absolutely with consistent sales. But on the organic side, the reason why it's so important to have promotional campaigns frequently throughout the year is because, you know, if you're not really pushing people into action on the organic side, oftentimes they won't really buy with you because it's just not on top of their mind, right? And that's where promotions become really useful because it inspires people to take action. And it's not about selling people things that they don't need. It's about things that they would have bought anyway or they're interested in buying. It's just giving them a little nudge to actually go over the finish line and actually purchase the thing they need to purchase, right? So I mentioned, just to recap, I mentioned two resources, right? First was building out your 24/7 marketing flywheel. You could grab that at uglyventures.com/overwhelm. And then the next is how to kind of get your brand together and build that brand story, uglyventures.com/brand. And you can grab that free resource as well. So both of those things are free downloads, PDF downloads, the little booklets, and it walks you through a bunch of steps that will inspire you and get you moving on your way. But as always, if you have any questions, please reach out to me on LinkedIn, Victoria Hajjar, H-A-J-J-A-R. You can DM me anytime. And if you are gotten all the way to the end of this episode and you would like for me to kind of coach you live on how to improve your marketing growth strategy, also DM me on LinkedIn. I am really interested in getting someone onto the podcast and just live breaking down their marketing strategy, like what's working, what's not working, and what upgrades I would suggest them making and what things they need to prioritize in order to get their marketing to the next level. And if that sounds interesting for you, I would love to chat with you. So send me a DM. But until next week, I will, you know, I hope you keep plowing forward with your marketing and that you have a wonderful week. And I'll see you back here next week for the Scalable Marketing Machine podcast.
You did it. You made it to the end of the episode. Thanks for sticking around with me and listening all the way to the end. I really appreciate you as an audience member, and I hope that you found this helpful. If you did like this episode, it would mean so, so much to me if you subscribed, if you rate and review this podcast. It helps other people know that this podcast has something worth saying. It also would be super awesome if you could take a screenshot and share on Instagram and tag me at Ugly Ventures, UGLI Ventures, VENTURES. I am always so appreciative to hear from you, and I hope to see you back here next week